Oh, Lord, watch out. I mean, Glory City Church, you guys have some anointed women in this house. I mean, watch out. Watch out when the women get anointed. Watch out. The kingdom of God advances forward with force. You got some wild women in this house. Some Holy Ghost women. But where's the Holy Ghost men? Come on. Where's the Holy Ghost men? Come on. Come on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So this is my beautiful anointed wife, Stephanie, and I would love for her to greet you guys tonight and share whatever's on your heart.
Happy Sunday, everyone. It is such a joy and a privilege for us to be here. We love this house. You guys have an amazing anointing and presence of God here. During worship, I just want to share a picture I had that I feel like the Lord gave me. I saw all of us, the whole crowd, and we were all wearing these t-shirts that said Revival on it. And I feel like God is saying that we are walking moves of God. We are the revival. And as we go out into the streets, into our workplaces, into our families, we are bringing revival wherever we go. It's not like we're waiting for a move of God. We are the move of God. And as we step out and go, you're going to see God manifest himself through you and pour through you and see people healed through you and transformed through you. But it's in the go. And I feel like this house, there's a go anointing where it's we gather, we encourage each other, we stir each other up, and then we go. We go and we heal, we set free, we bring in the harvest. And it's just this beautiful cycle of coming together, stirring each other up, and going and bringing that revival, that move of God out into the city, out into the streets. And it's just like we have, you all have such incredible giftings in you. I just look around this room and I just see all this potential and destiny and giftings. And God is just saying, step out. If we don't pray for people to be healed, how will they be healed? If we don't prophesy over people, how are they going to hear from the Father? God is saying, step out in fear. Don't be fearful. Step out in boldness. Receive the boldness of Christ. Receive the fearlessness of Christ. And you're going to see amazing things demonstrated through your life. And it's not even about being the most eloquent. It's not even about being the most experienced. It's just making yourself available and accessible to for Holy Spirit to pour through you. So just be encouraged by that. You are a walking move of God, and God is bringing revival through you and in you and out of you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Amen, praise the Lord. Great word, amen. So there's a message on my heart tonight that I want to minister, and I started on Friday night by talking about breakthrough and the breakthrough that God's releasing in this hour. How many are ready, I mean, really ready for that permanent breakthrough in your life, where it's not going around the mountain over and over and over again, but you finally cross over into the promised land that God has for you? So we started there, and I'm going to launch off of that tonight into some other thoughts that I feel is really, really strong on the heart of the Holy Spirit that I believe is going to shift something over your life tonight. How many know God's word is powerful and anointed? And when the word goes forth, it shifts something in us and around us. So I believe God's word is going to shift something over your life tonight. Let me just say, after service is over, Stephanie, my wife, is going to be at our resource table, which is out behind the curtains in the back there on your way out. I'll just take a minute to let you know some of what we have. And I get excited about resources, because resources really, it's empowerment for your life, because the word of God, you know the truth, and the truth will set you free and keep you free. So I really feel that God uses his word to transform us and change us from the inside out. So after service, I'll be back there if you want to say hi. I'd love to meet you and say hi as well. But we have something we've recently put together, and we've brought a lot of resources with us that we've never actually brought with us to Australia. We're in Australia maybe once a year, and we have some resources we bring with us, but we've brought some that we've not brought before. This is a new one. It's called Personal Freedom and Deliverance School. How many believe Jesus wants us 100% free? Not just 50% free, but 100% free. Spirit, soul, body, and mind. And what we did was we took 21 teachings on how to walk in the discerning of spirits, how to operate in that gift, but then also how to walk through self-deliverance, how to minister deliverance to others, how to identify strongholds, how to see generational inherited weaknesses overcome. And notice I said inherited weakness and not curse, because I'm a very firm believer that Jesus became the curse so that we can be free. And I know in a lot of teachings on spiritual warfare, we talk about generational curses. And I don't like saying that, because I really believe that when you become born again and recreated in Christ, you're not under any curse at all. Jesus fully took the curse. But what we deal with after our spirit gets regenerated, we deal with issues of the soul, the mind, the body, the flesh, that are weaknesses within us that we have to overcome. So we teach you in the process of deliverance and transformation how to overcome those things. And so we put 21 teachings together, and then we marked it 50% off. Woo! So, because we really want to get it into people's hearts. So that's, for me, that's my favorite thing. And then we've got this brand new set we just put, and I'm going to be touching on this. I touched on it Friday. I'm going to touch on something from this set tonight. Keys to Established Breakthrough. I don't know about you, but going around the mountain is not fun. Dealing with the same thing over and over again is not fun. I really believe God wants to set us free and keep us free. And there are keys on how you can keep your breakthrough and keep your freedom. So this is a four-part teaching on not just breakthrough, but established breakthrough, really staying free. And this one is another teaching set called Shift Your Season. This is a great teaching set on how to participate with God in changing the seasons of your life. I think sometimes we become passive and we think, God, you know, everything is up to you and we're just going to sit here and wait for you to do something. And then meanwhile, we're waiting for a really long time. But there's a participation we have in working with the Lord in seeing seasons shift and change. So we've got that teaching set, a whole lot more back there. We have our book, Powerful Life, Keys to a Life to a life marked with God's presence. So I'll sign it for you, and if I do, it'll become doubly anointed. But we're going to do something tonight. We did this on Friday. I felt this when we came in on Friday, and I said to Stephanie today, I'm like, let's do this again for the Glory City family on Sunday. We are offering every single thing at our resource table at a 50% discount. Rare that we do that, but we just feel to do that this weekend. So everything on the table, 50% discount. So, you know, we've got music CDs back there. So much resource to help you in your walk with God. And let me say this, that every single thing you sow, and I look at sowing into resources as sowing, when you sow into getting resources for yourself, it all goes into the outreach of our ministry, which helps us rescue more children. Everything goes 100% back into the flow and outpouring of the ministry. So it's just another way that you could even sow into the kingdom of God around the world. Is that good? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Hallelujah. Oh, Holy Spirit, we love you. We thank you, God, that you're here tonight. And Holy Spirit, we acknowledge your presence right now. And we thank you, Father. Lord, even before I speak one word here tonight, God, I pray for your breakthrough anointing just to settle down over this entire meeting, an entire church. Lord, we thank you tonight for your anointing that brings us to a new level of freedom and breakthrough. That the good work you have started, you will finish. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, let me ask you a question tonight. Is it okay that we're real in church? I like to be really real when I preach. And I really believe that God's word is so applicable to every single area of our life. There is nothing you will ever walk through in your life that the word of God does not have an answer for and the solution for. How many have ever, let's say you're in prayer or you receive a prophetic word or you're reading the Bible, you read a scripture, a promise from God. You get a promise from God, or God speaks something to your heart, or somebody prophesies something over you, and you get this word from God, but then it's like everything in your natural circumstance and experience goes in the exact opposite direction. Has anyone ever experienced that before? Well, get really happy because you're not alone. Sometimes, for example, we read the scripture, by his stripes, we were healed. A past tense promise. And then all of a sudden, we're wrestling through dealing with an infirmity in our life. Or we read the scripture that says, you and your household will be saved. And you're dealing with an unsaved family member. Or an unsafe spouse or children that are wrestling in their walk with God. And we read the scriptures of God's promises, or we receive the prophetic words of God's promises and calls on our life. But then it's like life brings us in a different direction. And sometimes we don't understand the dichotomy. We don't understand why our experience is different from what God's word or what God's promise has been to us. Well, I'm here today prophetically to release some keys of the kingdom that are going to shift you into the fulfillment of God's promises for your life. Hallelujah. Now, we shared on Friday that God is bringing us into a place where every work he has started in us, or every promise he has sown into our hearts, that he is going to bring that thing to completion and also release some new beginnings in our lives. I want to say to you tonight that everything that has tried to hinder you, limit you, or constrain you or confine you in your past season will not move with you into your new season. Everything that has tried to limit your life, it is not going with you into the new season. In fact, God is so going to release an anointing of supernatural favor on your life that God is going to lift you above every work of the adversary and propel you into every good promise he has for your life. There are times and seasons in God, and there are times where the Holy Spirit highlights truth. And I feel like tonight there's a highlighted truth that the Holy Spirit's going to give us. In Genesis chapter 37, there was a man by the name of Joseph who received an amazing promise from God. How many remember the story of Joseph in the Bible? So Joseph received this dream from God, an amazing dream. I want to read some of it to you. Genesis 37. We'll start in verse, let's say 4 or 5. Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers. See, he got so excited about his dream. He got so excited, he couldn't wait to tell his brothers. And they hated him still more. He said to them, "Listen now and hear, I pray you, this dream that I have dreamed. We brothers were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and yours stood round about my sheaf and bowed down." And his brother said to him, Do you think you're going to reign over us? And they made a decision in their heart that they were going to do whatever they had to do to stop Joseph's dream from coming to pass. Well, Joseph got so excited even more. He had another dream and said, "Hey, guys, I dreamt again. Listen to this dream. Now. Not only the 11 stars, but the sun and the moon bowed down to me." Oh, they couldn't handle it. They could not handle it. And they plotted and they planned and they schemed. And they said, "We're going to do whatever we have to do to make sure Joseph never rules over us. Never." Now, let's just get a revelation tonight. Not everyone is going to celebrate your dream. In fact, some people are so stuck in a poverty mindset, and I'm going to call it a poverty mindset, that they think somehow that your success is equivalent to their failure, because they fall into the trap of false comparison. And they think somehow if you're succeeding, or you're being blessed by God, or God is somehow doing something with your life, that somehow it's a reflection on what God is not doing in their life. And because they fall into this place of false comparison with a poverty mindset, they think, "I have to blow out your candle to make my light shine brighter." That's a poverty mindset. "I have to blow out your candle to make my light shine brighter." But I'm going to tell you what an abundance mindset is. An abundance mindset says this. It says God is so big and God is so great that he is so powerful that not only can God amazingly bless you, but there is so much blessing to go around that we can all be blessed by God. And because we have that understanding, we can celebrate one another's success and we can celebrate one another's victories without being jealous and without false comparison. We can celebrate one another's blessings from God. And I've learned a secret in the kingdom, that when I can celebrate someone else's blessing, it opens up the windows of heaven over my own life and makes a way where God pours out a blessing that I can't contain. But when I fall into the trap of false comparison and I start to look at my life compared to someone else, and we all do this at times, we all do it. It's like the classic example of watching a 30-second movie preview on television. And that movie preview looks like the most exciting movie you will ever see in your life. And you're like, I gotta go see that movie. And then you go to the movie and you're sitting there and you're like, why did I come to this movie? It's terrible. It's boring. And this is what we do with movie previews. It's what we do with false comparison. We look at someone's selfie on Instagram. Look how awesome my life is. Look how awesome I am. And then they put the phone down and they're depressed. Come on now. And you compare your whole life to someone's selfie on Instagram. And we fall into false comparison and we think the snapshot is the full picture. But here's the reality. Here's the reality. When you understand how amazing God is, how big God is, how powerful God is, you could say, God, I thank you for blessing that person. Lord, bless him even more. Give him an even better life, God. Because I know if I can rejoice in their blessing, it frees my heart up to receive blessing from you, Father. And we break through this small thinking, this poverty mindset that refuses to celebrate anyone else or anything else. It's a small thinking poverty mindset that constricts you, that makes you filled with anger and jealousy. Oh, hallelujah. That's where Joseph's brothers are at. They were filled with so much anger and so much jealousy. They were like, there's no way, Joseph, God's going to bless you more than me. And they made a decision. They said, we're going to make sure this doesn't happen. And they had the free will power to do what they were going to do. And they took Joseph. They took him physically, stripped his coat off of him, his coat of favor off of him, took the coat that his dad gave him, took it off, ripped it, threw Joseph in a pit, sold him as a slave. Then he ended up coming under false accusation, had to run for his life, got thrown into the dungeon. And it was like, what happened in Joseph's life? God gave him this dream. Joseph, you're going to be elevated. And all of a sudden, he's thrown down into the pit. Then all of a sudden, he's sold as a slave. Then all of a sudden, he's in the dungeon. It's like everything in his natural life went in the exact opposite direction from the vision of God. And it's like, well, what is going on? What is happening? And the reality is this. The reality is this. Sometimes the free will behavior, attitudes, circumstances of people and things outside of our control can appear to have a negative effect on our lives. Joseph was suffering from the free will action of another person. Anyone here ever have some stress that had nothing to do with you? But someone else was having an attitude or someone else was having a behavior and it was somehow negatively affecting your life. Come on, anyone ever go through anything like that? Well, this is what Joseph was going through. And I'm sure somewhere in that pit, he was probably really mad at his brothers. Like, what? Who do you think you are, brothers? God gave me a dream. I'm supposed to be lifted up and you're throwing me down. You're ruining my life. You're betraying me. You're hurting me. And I'm sure somewhere in the pit and somewhere in this place, Joseph suffered and went through those feelings. Went through those feelings. But I want you to see something else in the midst of this whole thing. I want you to see something else. I want you to see the supernatural favor of God that was on Joseph's life. Genesis 39, verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he, though a slave, was a successful and prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to flourish and succeed in his hand. So Joseph pleased Potiphar, found favor in his sight, and served him. And his master made him supervisor over his house and put all that he had in his charge. Imagine that. He's in, sold as a slave in Potiphar's house, and the favor of God lifts him up to the top in Potiphar's house. Now let's look at the next scripture, Genesis 39, verse 21. Genesis 39, 21. So now Joseph comes under false accusation, has to run for his life from Potiphar's wife, lands in the dungeon. So now he's in the dungeon. But what happens in the dungeon? The Lord was with Joseph, Genesis 39, verse 21. The Lord was with Joseph, showed him mercy and loving kindness, gave him favor in the sight of the warden of the prison. And basically, the warden of the prison puts everything in Joseph's charge. And in the prison, Joseph is put in charge. So now, this is the supernatural hand of the favor of God on Joseph's life. And I want us to observe something tonight. The brothers ripped the coat of favor, the external coat of favor off of Joseph, took the coat off of him. And although they physically took the coat of favor off of Joseph, they could not lift the hand of God's favor off of his life. They tried with all of their might to throw him down, to restrain and restrict and stop the purposes of God. They physically took the coat of favor off of him, but they could not lift the hand of God's favor off of him. Wherever he went, the favor of God was with him. Now, when I was a child, when I was a young boy, I used to have this hard, bouncy, little rubber ball. And this thing bounced so high, I would go out and I would throw this thing down, and the harder I threw it down, the higher up it bounced. That is what you are like. You are like an anointed, bouncy rubber ball. The harder down you get thrown, the higher up you're going to bounce. This is what the favor of God does. It's like the harder life tries to throw you down, the harder the enemy tries to discourage you or depress you, the harder external circumstances outside of your control try to hinder the purpose of God, the higher up you're going to bounce. That's what the favor of God does. But I want us to understand something about God's favor. Favor is not something you work for, earn, or even deserve. We have to get a true revelation of what the favor of God is all about. You cannot be perfect enough. You cannot earn it or deserve it enough, because none of us deserve God's favor. But I'm going to tell you why we have God's favor as a new covenant child of God. Romans 6, 14. I love this in the Amplified Bible. For sin shall not any longer exert dominion over you, since now you are not under law as slaves, but you are now under grace as subjects of God's divine favor. You are no longer under the law as a slave of sin, but you are now under grace as a subject of God's divine favor. Not because of what you have done, but because of what Jesus has done. Because of what Jesus has done, you are now under the grace of God. And when you come under the grace of God in Christ, you come under the favor of God. Oh, hallelujah. I could go from scripture to scripture tonight. Galatians 3:9. I love this one. Galatians 3:9. So then those who are people of faith. How many here believe in Jesus? Okay, you're a person of faith. Those who are people of faith are blessed, made happy, and favored by God. Blessed, made happy, and favored by God. Not because of who you are, but because of who Jesus is. You are now favored by God. You are under that place of God's favor. This is what Joseph was under. He was under the favor of God. And no matter what people tried to do, no matter what circumstances tried to do, no matter what the devil tried to do, the favor of God always brought Joseph up to the top again. And that's what God's favor is going to do for you. Get ready to arise and shine. Get ready to arise and shine. No weapon formed against you will prosper. The Bible does not say that there'll never be a weapon formed. Sometimes the enemy will pull out his biggest guns and he will try to form the biggest weapons against you. But God promises those weapons will not prosper against you. somewhere in this journey that Joseph was experiencing, where he was walking out the plan of God, somewhere in this whole thing, he got a revelation. And I honestly, tonight, I can't tell you the exact moment he got this revelation. It was either somewhere between the pit, Potiphar's house as a slave, or the dungeon. Somewhere in this journey of his life going in the opposite direction of the word of the Lord, he got a revelation from God that changed everything. Somewhere he got this revelation. And I want you to see something tonight with me. I want us to go deeper into this. Psalm 105, verse 17, is a beautiful prophetic picture of the life of Joseph. Psalm 105, verse 17, it says, he, referring to God, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold as a slave. He sent a man, God sent a man before them, who was sold as a slave. Wait a second. Which is it? Was Joseph sent by God, or was he sold as a slave? Because those are two very different things. It's very different to say, I'm sent by God. It's another thing to say, I was sold as a slave. The reality is, both statements are true. This one sentence in Psalm 105 is two perspectives within one sentence. One is an earthly perspective, the other is a heavenly perspective. The earthly perspective is Joseph was a man sold as a slave, betrayed by his brothers, cast down by people, sold off as a slave, his life ruined by other people. The heavenly perspective, Joseph was a man sent by God. Joseph was a man commissioned by God on a specific mission with a purpose. Sent by God, sold as a slave. Both true. One earthly perspective, the other heavenly perspective. Somewhere in this process, somewhere Joseph got this revelation. He got a revelation that he was sent by God. He got a revelation that although his brother sold him as a slave and betrayed him, he was a man on a mission. He was a man commissioned by the hand of God. He was a man being sent forth by God. Sent by the hand of God. It began to do something in his heart. It began to release something in his heart. And we see what took place in Genesis 45 as we come towards the end of this story. In Genesis 45 now, a famine had swept through the land. Joseph was in the dungeon. And in that place of imprisonment, in that place of captivity, in that place of darkness, in that place where it looked like everything had failed, where it looked like God's word wasn't true, where it looked like God's promises weren't real, where it looked like the faith of his heart had been so tested with his experience, because his experience was not matching the promise that God gave him. And somewhere in that dark place of captivity where his experience didn't match the promise of God, somewhere in that place, with the revelation that even though he didn't understand how it was all going to happen or how God was going to bring his word to pass, he had a conviction in his heart that he was a man sent by God. And somewhere in the process, because he had higher revelation, he could forgive the ones that betrayed him. He could forgive the ones that hurt him. He could forgive the ones that cast him down. And how do I know this? Because in Genesis 45, Joseph is heard weeping in the palace of Pharaoh. Because from that prison, he got access to Pharaoh, and God lifted him up to Pharaoh's court. And now he's in a place of power. And he's weeping in Pharaoh's house, and all the house is hearing it. Because now Joseph's brothers come back on the scene. Joseph's brothers are in a place of need. Joseph's brothers now, because the land is in famine, they come to Pharaoh's house to get help. And they realize, oh no, it's Joseph. He's in power. How did that happen? We sold him as a slave. Last time we knew it, he was going off as a slave. How is he in power? How did he get here? Well, I'm going to tell you exactly how Joseph got there. Because this is what the favor of God will do in your life. Everything that the enemy means for evil against you, God uses it for good. Everything. Everything. Every weapon the enemy forms against you to destroy you, God will turn that thing around for your good. Every betrayal in your life, God will turn it around to divinely position you. Every time the enemy tries to cast you down, God will use that very thing that is meant and forged against you to defeat you. God will use that very thing to divinely position you for your purpose. This is how big God is. His brothers sold him as a slave. Off he went. Then he was thrown in the dungeon. Down he went. But I'm going to tell you, it was from that dungeon place that Joseph would get direct access to Pharaoh, where he would see the full fulfillment of God's word. He had to be in the dungeon to be exalted to a place of power. And the revelation is this: what you meant for evil, God meant for good. You sold me, but God sent me. You betrayed me, but God positioned me for his divine purpose. And every hurtful thing in Joseph's life, God used to put him in the right place at the right time so fulfillment could be released in his life. And because he understood, I'm sent by God. Therefore, I can forgive you. I don't have to hold any offense against you. Because while you were selling me, God was sending me. While you were betraying me, God was commissioning me. While you were trying to hinder me, God was divinely positioning me. That's how big God is. That he's always steps ahead of what the enemy is forming. He's always steps ahead of what the enemy's trying to do. Always. And Joseph is heard weeping now. And he says, brothers, it's me. It's me, Joseph. Come here. And his brothers are in terror. They're terrified. They're like, oh no, Joseph's going to kill us. We're in trouble. And Joseph, in Genesis 45, is weeping. And this is what he says to his brothers. He says, don't be distressed or disheartened or even angry with yourself. Don't be angry with yourself because you sold me here. For God sent me ahead of you to preserve life. And then he goes on to say, God sent me before you to preserve a posterity, to continue a remnant in the earth, to save your lives by great escape, and to save for you many survivors. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he's made me a father to Pharaoh. It was not you who sent me here. Don't even be upset at yourself. Because he had the revelation that even the most painful moments of his life were serving the purpose of God. God didn't send those painful things. God does not send evil on people. But God is so big and so powerful and so good that even the worst things that come against us in our life, God is able to use those very things that are forged for evil. God is able to use them to fulfill a good purpose in our lives. That's how big God is. That's how amazing God is. And Joseph got the revelation. Joseph got the revelation. And you know what? This revelation will give you an unoffendable heart. It will give you an unoffendable heart. It's what Jesus walked in. It's what Jesus lived in. He understood that even the most deepest betrayals of his friendship still serve the purposes of God. He understood it. So his heart was unoffendable. There's nothing that could have stopped God's will in Joseph's life. Nothing. No betrayal. No activity of another person. no circumstance, no demonic assignment, nothing could stop God's blessing on Joseph's life. Only one thing could have, and that would have been Joseph himself. Had Joseph held on to offense, had Joseph held on to a sense of, I am going to get back at them, had he held on to that resentment, when he got elevated to power, he would have used his power to hurt people rather than help them. Because you know that if there is resentment or bitterness in the heart, the Bible says the root of bitterness defiles many. Because not only does bitterness defile our own heart on the inside of us, it also begins to defile everyone around us because it becomes a lens through which we see everything in our life. And then the hurt that you carry, the unresolved hurt you carry, begins to affect other people in your life. The only thing that could have stopped God's plan for Joseph would have been his own undealt with offense. Because rather than helping people, he would have hurt people. The whole purpose of Joseph's elevation was not so Joseph could be great. You understand that, right? I mean, maybe when Joseph was young, he thought, wow, God's going to lift me up. Wow, look how great I'm going to be. But the reality was it had nothing to do with Joseph's own sense of personal fulfillment. It wasn't just so Joseph could feel good about himself. It was so that God would anoint Joseph to help and save other people. Anytime God anoints you or lifts you up or does anything through you, it's not just for your own self-satisfaction. It's for the purpose of God's kingdom and heart that he would somehow pour through you to help other people. That's the purpose of it. And somewhere Joseph understood that too. Because he said to his brothers, God has sent me here to save lives. Now think about this. Just think about this. Joseph's choice to forgive and Joseph's choice to obey God preserved a remnant in the earth. Why was that so important? Why was it so important for a group to be kept alive during this famine? It would be that group that would become the genealogy and the line through which the Messiah one day would be born and bring salvation to mankind. Had that group been wiped out in famine, there would have been no family line for the Messiah to be born through. So think about it tonight. We are all here tonight. We are all here knowing Jesus, worshiping God, because of one man's choice to forgive and obey God. And because Joseph chose to forgive and chose to save lives with his power, a genealogy was preserved in the earth, bringing the Messiah, saving all of us. Your choice to forgive, you may think it's small. Your choice to obey God, you may think it's small. You may think, oh, it just affects me. It does not just affect you. Your life is like a pebble dropped in a pond, and every pebble that's dropped, ripples go out from it. Understand your obedience to God. Every time you choose to forgive, every time you choose to bless your enemies, every time you choose to obey God, it sends something forth from your life that doesn't just affect your present day. It can affect generations to come. It can affect generations in your family, generations of people you may never meet. Because of your act of obedience, somehow something was set into motion that will carry on like a domino effect, affecting generations out from your life. Joseph was under God's divine favor. He understood he was a man sent by God. He understood that every negative thing, God used it to put him in the right place at the right time for God's word to come to pass. You may be in the middle somewhere. You may be what I call in the middle, where you've gotten the word and you're yet to meet Pharaoh, but you are right here somewhere in the middle. And maybe you feel like in some ways you're in a dungeon. Maybe you feel like you're somehow being limited or hindered in your life. Maybe you even think that someone else's lack of belief in you is somehow hindering your call and destiny. Can I tell you, if God is the only one who believes in you, that's enough. Let me tell you, I have walked through, I understand this process. God called by God into ministry. I said, yes, God, I'll serve you with all my life. Had big dreams and visions and promises from God. Saw nations and salvations and miracles. And I said, yes, God, this is what we're going to do. Then I go on staff at a church. And my assignment as associate pastor is every week, Matt, you're going to be in the basement of the church with the kids. And you're going to do Royal Rangers with the kids. And I'm like, Royal Rangers? What's Royal Rangers? It's like Boy Scouts for Christianity, okay? It's like you teach kids how to start campfires, build tents, and then you tell them about Jesus. And I'm like, look, I don't care about learning how to do a campfire. Rubbing these two sticks together, it is way too slow, way too long. I'm like, ditch the sticks, get some gasoline and a match. It goes a whole lot faster. Look, kids, I'm going to teach you how to start a campfire, okay? Put the sticks aside, okay? But look, I didn't feel like it was my calling. I didn't feel like this is, yes. And maybe sometimes I felt leaders around me just couldn't see the anointing on me. If you would just see what I'm really called to be, then I would be able to fulfill the call of God that is on my life. And I put so much stock in what other people said and what other people did that I thought that that was determining my life. But I realized something along the way. God is way bigger than one person. God is way bigger than even what people think or what people do. If God wants you somewhere, look, here's the key. If you keep your heart free of offense, if you choose to keep your heart clean no matter what happens, you stay humble. You keep your heart clear. Nothing can stop the blessing of God from pouring out on your life. Nothing. And as you follow God, He will make sure whatever His plan is for you will come to pass. And that's not to say anything negative about children's ministry. It's a wonderful ministry. It's wonderful. Just like, you know, nursing home ministry is wonderful. It is. It's beautiful. And that was my second assignment. Nursing home ministry. Every Sunday after church, my assignment was to go to the nursing home and to have church at the nursing home. And I said, yes, I will do it. I was obedient. I had five people. My congregation was five people for 3 years. The same five people. And they were so old, they were all losing their memory. And they couldn't remember that they got saved the week before. Every week. Every single week, I would say, okay. And I'd be like, no, you got saved last week. You got saved. You are saved. In fact, you've been saved every week for the last 2 years. You are saved. But they couldn't remember. They couldn't remember. And every Sunday I'd go and I'd share the gospel and share the word and teach and disciple the same five people and get them saved every week. And in my process, at times I thought, oh, the pastor just can't see my true call. Oh, he's assigning me to do these things that I hate. Oh, God, forgive me for hating these things, but I should love these things. But I'll be honest. I'm just really honest, okay? Not that I hated it, but it wasn't the fulfillment of my ultimate dream. But in the process, God taught me a lot of things. He taught me humility. He taught me servanthood. He taught me that sometimes you have to do things you don't want to do. In fact, he taught me that he anoints us to do everything we need to do, even if we don't want to do it. He taught me that it's not just about how good I feel. It's not about my own sense of fulfillment, although God wants to fulfill us, yet it's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. It's about pouring out your life for others, whether it's a child in the basement of a church or an old person in an old age home or your neighbor down the street or an outreach or a feeding program or the nursery. Hallelujah. I see a call going forth for nursery workers. Hallelujah. See, every church, they're like, please God, we need nursery workers. No, but it's like, Pastor, you want me to usher? I'm an intercessor. I'm a worshiper. I'm a worshiper. I can't pass a bucket. I'm a worshiper. Well, pass it with your eyes open. Praise God. Worship with your eyes open. It's like sometimes we just get so, we feel like this is what I'm called to do. Therefore, I can't do anything else. Oh, praise the Lord. It's called reality, and it's called the process, and it's called sometimes you will go through this process. Don't despise the process. Let God do his amazing work in you, and he will fulfill everything he has ever spoken to your heart. And maybe somewhere in the process, Joseph had to learn that it wasn't about him. But it was about all the people that he would save. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But I want to encourage you tonight. I really want to encourage you. God's favor is on you. You can trust him that even if you are in the middle place, and you don't have all the answers of how it's going to happen, you're in that middle place, and you've not yet met Pharaoh, you can trust God that he is divinely positioning you, that he is moving in ways that you cannot see right now or perceive right now. I am sure when Joseph was thrown in that dungeon, he was not saying, yay, I'm in the dungeon. This is so good. Thank you, God. I've dreamed of this place my whole life. I love it down here, God. It's awesome. It's just not what he was seeing at the moment. But it would be that very place of confinement that would become the meeting point for his destiny. Oh, hallelujah. There's a whole new level of divine favor coming on people. There is a whole new level of divine favor that's going to be upon your life. That's going to cause the right doors to open for you at the right time. Because that's what favor does. It opens the right doors at the right time and keeps the wrong doors shut. God opens up a door no man can shut, and he shuts doors no man can open. Look, if God has shut the door, there is nothing that's going to open that door. And rather than wasting time and energy grieving over shut doors, thank God the door's shut, because God, rather than God keeping you from something good, maybe he was sparing you from something you couldn't see on the other side of that door. I have learned not to grieve shut doors. I have learned to trust God that my steps are ordered by him. And if a door shuts, there's just something I couldn't see. Because God's favor is not just me feeling good. It's me being in the right place at the right time for the purpose of the kingdom of God. Which means if this door has to shut in order to realign my steps in the right direction, thank God for the shut door. Because it means the right door is going to open. Look, when you're walking in trust and faith in God, this applies to every area of your life. If you were looking for a husband or a wife and you thought they were the one, but they didn't get the same revelation you got, praise God, the door is shut. Come on now, praise God, the door is shut. Rather than saying, oh God, the door, open the door. I name it and claim it. That's the one, God, I know that's the one. Well, until they know they're the one, you don't know nothing, praise God. I've learned to thank God for shut doors that the right ones open so that I'm positioned in the right place at the right time for God's will to come forth in my life. And the same is true for you. You don't just want a door open. You want the right door open. And you want it open at the right time. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Be careful when Jesus walks in the room and sits down next to you on the bed and says, he's going to be your husband. Can I tell you, before I got married, how many women had Jesus visit them? No, I'm going to be honest. There's a lot of visitation going on. Jesus was visiting a lot of homes. And I don't know what visitation they were getting. I mean, they were getting a visitation. They were hearing Jesus. They were having angelic encounters. And I guess I was going to have maybe 30 wives. I don't know. Oh, hallelujah. My breakthrough, my marriage was not just a breakthrough for me. It was a breakthrough for every person praying for me. It was a breakthrough for every woman that thought I was the one. Maybe it was not the breakthrough they wanted, but it was a breakthrough because then they could finally be free and be like, okay, I guess that wasn't God. Oh, thank you. Amen. Okay, let's all sing hallelujah now. Get our eyes on Jesus. Worship team, come up here, please, before I say anything else. We got to edit this video, okay? The last 5 minutes, just cut it. Just cut it off of the tape, off of the video. Thank you, Jesus. It'll be private information between us. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you. Look, I know when the anointing lifts. Praise the Lord. I'm going to stay in the anointing. Worship team. Save me. So while the worship team is slowly coming, no, we're going to pray. And I really believe this, that when you understand favor is not dependent on you, that it's your position in Christ, you can begin to walk in a new dimension of God's favor, where you start to see doors open that wouldn't open before. Not because you're trying to force them open, but because you're walking in the divine will of God. And he's going before you and clearing the way before you. We're going to pray tonight. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is here to break through, to heal, to position you, to even set your heart free from any offense that has tried to confine you or constrain you. Your heart can be totally free tonight. Before Joseph was free on the outside, he was free on the inside. He was totally free on the inside. Long before he was free on the outside. And that's where breakthrough happens. That's where breakthrough starts. It starts on the inside. You get free on the inside. It's just a matter of time until that freedom overflows on the outside.